It is a Tech Tuesday. That's what this music means. And typically, we talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. But today, we are talking to Ian Schur. And Ian, this whole FBI Apple issue that's going on, have you picked a side on this?
Have I picked a side? It's fascinating to watch. I think that when you look at the fight that's going on between the technology industry, really, and the government, it's really fascinating to see who's going to get an edge on this, because, of course, there's much larger implications than just getting into an iPhone. And it's really fascinating watching Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, who's been very public on this since it really started happening last week, basically starting to use the vocabulary of American ideals in his discussions, right? He sent out an email yesterday, for example, that said, you know, Apple is a uniquely American company. It does not feel right to be on the opposite side of the government in a case centering on freedoms and liberties that the government is meant to protect. That's very political speech, and it's very fascinating that he's starting to use basically language that you would expect to hear from a presidential candidate or read out of some of the founding documents of this country in his arguments against the FBI. And so it's going to be really fascinating to watch how these things play out, because, of course, there are very large implications no matter where this ends up.
Ian, as of now, the government has asked Apple to create a way for them to access information from a phone. They
from
haven't
the San
ordered
Bernardino
it.
From the terrorist. I yeah. mean, it's he's a terrorist.
Right. He is a terrorist. Well, but they can't order it, can they?
It's actually not giving access to the phone. What the government wants is that they want a way to be able to guess a bunch of passwords to get into the phone. Apple's iPhones by default have a feature that will erase the phone after 10 incorrect password tries. And so they want to be able to do more than that, right? That's basically what they're asking Apple to do, is to come up with a way to disable that function.
That's it? I mean, when I hear it that way,
yeah.
Because, you know, I have mixed emotions on this. First of all,
of course,
I don't have anything to hide, so I don't really care. Anybody could go into my phone and look at it, and nothing would incriminate me. However, if I broke the law, I
you
feel like
forfeit
I forfeited
that right.
That right.
Yeah.
And especially killing people.
It's worth noting that I think that when you look at Apple in the court of public opinion, it is not working out very well for them so far. So Pew Research did a study that we wrote about on CNET, where they did a survey of people between February 18th and the 21st, and they found that more than 50% of people say that Apple should agree to the FBI's demands and agree to the court demands, and only 38% of respondents said that they should not, and 11% said they didn't know. So That's a pretty good indication that right now there's a fair number of people throughout this country that agree with you. The hard part, I think, is that when you look at the amount of information that's ending up on our phones, already Apple has said that this is not just the FBI in this one instance. They've already received a number of responses that if they create this for the FBI, there are many, many law enforcement people behind them who are going to want this as well. And so they see this as a slippery slope, that if they give one person access, then everyone from law enforcement to despotic regimes that we don't like are going to want this stuff as well, and they're going to get access to it whether or not Apple can control it.
Is it possible, Ian, because I just assumed that this technology was already in place, is it possible that it is in place and we just don't know that?
What do you mean by this technology?
To get through the 10 attempts where it won't erase the phone?
That?
Yeah.
So you would think it would be. We assume that the government is very powerful and able to do a lot. But here's what's interesting is that Silicon Valley especially has somewhat of an anti-government streak ever since the revelations that came from Edward Snowden, who was the NSA contractor who revealed a lot of information about how the government is spying on its own citizens.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, Silicon Valley has really pushed itself in ways that, I mean, it's innumerable. We've written about it a lot on CNET. To do stuff like using encryption, which is what jumbles up all the information in your phone or your computer so that no one without the password can access it. And they've been doing a lot of things to make sure that you and I have basically some sense of privacy away from the government or, again, despotic regimes or whomever, to be able to control our information. And as these little, you know, screens and metal things that sit in our pockets all the time get more information, there's been a lot of interest in this. If you look at consumer usage of encryption, it's been going up steadily over the last couple of years, a lot of it in response to this these concerns. And so here's the conundrum, right? Mm-hmm. If Silicon Valley bows to what the government wants, then the question becomes, when they tell you, hey, our stuff is safe and it's encrypted, can they actually be honest? Right? Can they get, do they have to admit at one point, well, it is mostly safe unless you're a government or someone who's gotten access to the software program that could be copied a million times. And once it's released on the internet once, that's it, right? Then anyone can copy it and it's easy. So that's part of what Apple's argument is in all of this. I'm not saying they're right, but that's kind of the tack that they've taken.
But Ian, we're lied to constantly. We go to sites that it says there's a banner that says this is a secure site, and those secure sites get hacked constantly. So
yes,
we're not always
we
being told
like
the truth.
Constantly. Absolutely. But here's the thing is that Apple makes its money from selling you a device, right? They don't make money from pretty much anything else. So
right.
If they cannot convince you to buy an iPhone in the future, then you are going to ruin their business model, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger. You know, it's unlike Facebook and Google, who they make money off of advertising and targeted advertising at you. And even when you're not on the site, some of that information goes around. And they're able to make a lot of money from a lot of people. With Apple, if the public tide of opinion turns against them, then their business starts to fall apart. And that's their concern, is that they have set themselves up as a secure and safe place. That's how they took down BlackBerry, right? You remember that company?
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, is that BlackBerry used to sell itself as a very secure way to communicate until governments like Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and other ones were able to convince them to change their security to allow information and all that type of stuff. It became a much bigger deal. And suddenly governments and companies started moving away from them and toward the iPhone. So now the iPhone is positioned as, hey, we're the secure thing. We've got this government-level encryption. We're going to make sure that your stuff is safe. We don't even want access to your information. We're not going to advertise to you like Google or Facebook does. Now, if you turn around and you actually can't say that with a full-throated argument, it starts to fall apart. And that's what Apple's really worried about, I think.
But this, to me, seems like an extenuating circumstance. I mean, what if it was a child that was involved and was killed or murdered, and the parent said, yes, I can't get into my kid's iPhone, but I give you permission to go into that.
And that's the argument that the FBI makes, is that this is an extenuating circumstance. The argument from Apple, and again, I'm not saying one is right or the other,
right,
is that one extenuating circumstance is not actually the case. Once they create the software once, it can be copied, it can be reused, and all of this stuff suddenly becomes a much bigger deal than just one case. And that's the problem with technology broadly, is that we can't create a tool once. Once you create one piece of software, it can be sent anywhere and used for anything. And that's what Apple's real concern is. And up until now, when they've been ordered to help the government and law enforcement with one thing or another, they've complied, but it's never been to break encryption. It's been to do stuff like go into backups and whatnot, and, you know, stuff that in theory they don't have to do any extra work to extract.
But couldn't they come out the heroes of this?
How so?
Just that they're helping, you know, terrorism against we Americans.
But people wouldn't all perceive that as being heroic. Some people would perceive that as you're spying on somebody, even though it is a terrorist.
And you're getting at the point of the argument, right?
Yeah.
Is that there is a very split public opinion over whether or not Apple is the hero for either helping the government if they were forced to, or protecting us from the government. And, you know, if you look at the way that this election cycle is playing out, there is a very strong anti-government message going on right now. And so Apple is not entirely against the tide of public opinion. Pew shows that about at least half of the country is against them on this at this point. But that may change over time. Apple has been able to make these kinds of arguments before and done very well successfully. If you look at the way that they fought against Samsung in the court of public opinion with their lawsuit against them, they were able to turn what was very mundane and kind of boring patent lawsuit into a huge dramatic thing that they look like the heroes of American industry in. So I wouldn't count them out on being able to change the tide of public opinion over time.
Do you ever see them giving in to this?
You know, it's going to be very interesting to watch. I think that, you know, I covered Apple for a number of years when I was at the Wall Street Journal, and I've been following them still here at CNET. And I'll tell you that this company, when they decide something, they are stubborn. That is one thing that they are known for. If you talk to their partners, they'll say the same thing. When they've decided, they will stick to things very strongly. And so it's going to be very interesting if they end up being forced to by the government, how they're going to go about it. Because one thing is for sure, if they end up doing this, they're going to be kicking their feet in the sky as they're doing it. They're not going to be very happy to turn around.
His name's Ian Schur, executive editor over at CNET.com. I love that website, and you can go and find more information about this whole Apple FBI thing. Thank you so much, Ian.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right, a quick break. Steve with the news, and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.